Broadcasting 2.0 for March 8th, 2024, episode 170, ones and zeros. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0, the podcast that's all about the podcast. I'm talking about the past, the current, and the present of all podcasting. That's right. This is the board meeting, and we are a boardroom that meets every week, come rain or come shine. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man whose to-do list is longer than his server migration logs. Please say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. Dave Jones.
I made it.
You made it.
We're having a show.
We're barely having a show.
It's better than not having a show.
You literally came to the board meeting with baling wire, gaffer tape, and
crayons.
Yeah, yeah, and some Gooby Gone and stuff, whatever. Crayons. Yeah. Crayons.
Yeah, this was like, I came in here and this is how it started. All right, I grabbed my beef milkshake.
Yes, as one does.
Mm-hmm. Blended up the beef milkshake in a hurry, as usual, and then come in here and it's 12:27 p.m.
Yes.
First thing I do is always crank up the chat room. That started fine, no problems in the terminal client. Then I open Brave to get into Clean Feed.
Uh-huh.
So I click Brave and I look away for a minute and I look back and Brave's not on the screen.
What was on the screen? Nothing?
Nothing.
Was it black?
And I was like, I was like, what? Wait a second. It's still just a desktop. Where's Brave? I click it again. Nothing. I'm like, wait, what? What's going on? So then I go to pull up, I go to check HTOP to see if the process is running. This is on Ubuntu, you know, my podcast rig is Ubuntu.
Your Ubuntu install has been nothing but trouble.
Mm-hmm.
It's crap.
It's not trouble anymore because it's dead. She's dead, Jim.
All right. Okay.
It's there's nothing in HTOP. Like, what is going on? I pull up
you start HTOP and there was nothing in the list.
There was no Brave.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Brave.
Oh, okay, I got you. Yeah.
But then I hit. I'm like, you know, I wonder if this is disk space. So I open I do a df space. You know,
df dash h for human readable. Yeah.
For human readable. Uh-huh. And it says 100% usage. There's 0% free.
Will do it. Every time.
Oh, crap. And so I tried to reboot. I cleaned up some space, cleaned everything out I could think of. And I had like 4 gigs free, rebooted, and it just would not come back up. It was completely dead.
What did you, a log file? What ran so nuts on your...
I don't know.
I don't know. Is this your Umbral as well?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, blockchain.
No. Blockchain's on a separate volume.
Oh, okay. Huh.
It's on a different physical disk, actually.
The Bitcoin went up so high that it ruined your disk space.
It hit 70, and it was like...
And everything melted down when that thing hit 70. It's beautiful to watch.
It's like, I love this. It's like all-time high, 5% drop.
Of course. There was a guy who sold... Or somebody sold 1,000 Bitcoin when it hit, you know, the all-time high 2 days ago or 3 days ago, whatever it was.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, okay, that'll drop the price. Someone did $70 million in one go. It was beautiful.
Good Lord, have mercy.
But even more beautiful is I love for all everyone who's a part of Value for Value, our app developers, people who have systems, you know, podcasters, musicians, everybody is seeing an increase in the value they received. It's just got to be a good feeling for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it really has to be. I mean, my nephew, who's, was he like 24? You know, I told him 2 years ago, I said, dude, just buy a little bit each day, leave it alone, don't look at it. And he texts me, but Bitcoin's going crazy. I can buy a new laptop. I'm like, no, think about it. You can buy a laptop now, or maybe you could buy a boat in 2 years. He's like, So yeah, this is the conundrum that Bitcoin brings you. It's like, you know, it's teaching you. You know what? I just see what's happening, and I see that Bitcoin, some people who are listening will laugh,
but it's like a savings and a saving technology for the working poor, for the middle class, and it's teaching our new young generation about value. Because when I was growing up, what are you knocking around there? Are you building a robot or what are you doing? In the middle of my Bitcoin pitch, you're like,
you don't understand what state of mind I'm in right now.
I'm trying to calm you down. I'm trying to calm you down here.
Okay. It's a chain of events.
Like, are you broadcasting from John C. Dvorak's office now? It sounds like all the cans on the ground and stuff.
I was just trying to move a plate out of the way after it was like one thing after another, and all of a sudden something fell off the shelf, and I'm trying not to die.
Man.
Okay, please continue with Bitcoin. All right,
so I'll go back. So it's a savings technology, which is how I've been using it. You know, we buy a little bit every single day. And we've been doing that since it was under $4,000. But it's this 5-year cycle. And so it's great for the working poor, the middle class, and it's teaching a whole new generation about value, about true value. When I was growing up, they would tell us, well, you know, it's like compound and interest. And if you save a penny a day, you'll be a millionaire when you're 40. Mm-hmm. Of course, what they forgot to tell us is that while your interest rate may be 5%, your government is devaluing your money at 10% a year.
Right, exactly.
So Bitcoin really does the inverse of that, which is it's turning into a beautiful thing now that's been legitimized and people can buy it on Wall Street. And I think this, as they say, this bull run, this bull, you know, this bull season, whatever we want to call it, that it is going to help some people figure this out. And I really love it. In fact, I wanted to play a clip from This Week in Bitcoin, which is my new favorite weekly. Thank you very much, our man over there, Jupiter Broadcasting.
Oh, Chris.
Yeah.
Christopher.
Yeah, because I think he boosted us last week and said, oh, you know, you should check this out. Yeah. I love it. I love it. And it comes out on Friday, which is, it competes a little bit with Pod News Weekly Review, but I was able to make it work. Okay. So there was this big conference, Bitcoin Atlantis, which I didn't even know about until I saw some stuff come through. And this is about data, and it's, you know, kind of forget the Bitcoin part, but just think about data. And this is really how, when you and I concepted this early on, the idea of value for value is nothing more than ones and zeros, you know, being sent through the internet, and it reassembles. It's in an MP3 format. It reassembles into your ears and you hear it, and it's just pure data, ones and zeros. It assembles you, what, for whatever it is you're listening to it, you get value from it, and you literally turn around, hit a button, and send ones and zeros back.
Right.
But the perception of value is something that I think we're finally coming to terms with in the world. And this is Lawrence Leopard. I'm not even sure where he's from. But he, I think maybe was an investor or is an investor, and he made a very interesting comparison, which I wanted to play a clip of.
You know, in the early 80s, I started my business career. The IBM PC was introduced in 1980, and Microsoft came public in 1986, came public at 14 times trailing and growing 40% a year. And at the time, if you were in the computer business, you were at IBM or Prime or DEC or Wang, and, you know, the mini computer was really the thing, and a lot of people regarded these PCs as toys. And I think it's an interesting analogy that back at that point in time, software was regarded as risky because it was ones and zeros, and people didn't see that there could be any value in it. They were saying, how can there be value in the software? It's just written, you know, it's code. It has no value. The value's in the disk drives, the value's at IBM, the value's in these hardware computers, people who are making real stuff. Sounds kind of familiar, right? And I recall, a little further back, wind it back, I'm at business school, and I'm with my business school roommate. He's with his roommate from Harvard College, a guy named Steve Ballmer. We're walking along the Charles River, And Ballmer says, we've got this thing called DOS, and the entire world is going to need this thing. The entire world. Everybody is going to have it. It's going to be a part of everybody's life. This is going to be a multi-billion dollar corporation. I looked at him. I thought he was nuts. But then it kind of hit me. He wasn't nuts. It was the base layer of the technology that allowed the PC to grow. And 40 years later, it is ubiquitous. And Ballmer's obviously a billionaire, and Microsoft's a multi-billion dollar company. I mean, I bought it at the time in 86 when it came public, sold it 3 years later to buy a condo. It was a mistake. The split adjusted price is 6 cents, and the stock trades at, you know, $290 today. So it was, you know, 47,000 times your money, or 4,700 times your money. The point I'm trying to make is that Bitcoin is the same thing, and people don't understand it. They don't understand that it is the base layer of money, and it is going to absorb the entire monetary system given a long enough time frame, at least in my opinion.
So I just really like the idea of showing that data, ones and zeros, can be very valuable just depending on how you assemble it. Mm-hmm. And the same goes for RSS. The exact same thing. RSS data is going to be incredibly valuable move. It already is. Unless, of course, you work at Andreessen Horowitz and you're a douche. Here's another clip. This guy, Chris Dixon. Have you ever heard of this guy?
This name sounds very familiar.
Yeah, someone sent me this. Sent me a link to the YouTube, which I put in our show notes, and a clip. So he's, excuse me, he's one of the founders of Andreessen Horowitz, and these guys are all about Web 3. Yeah, the future, blockchain. And he wrote gross. A book called. here, hold on a second. I have the description here.
It's called Why I'm Better Than You.
Pretty much. Chris Dixon has been a general partner at Andreessen Horowitz since 2012. He founded and leads A16Z Crypto, which invests in Web3 technologies through 4 decades, funds with more than $7 billion under management. This has got to be the smartest guy in the world. Previously, Chris was the co-founder and CEO of 2 startups, Site Advisor, never heard of, and Hunch. And also never, but they were acquired, so that makes sense. Okay. In this wide-ranging conversation, Chris discusses the evolution of the internet, the current relationship between AI and cryptocurrencies, and how the Web3 movement could inspire a new political ideology. Okay, whatever. But he said this thing about RSS, which is so tone deaf is what I'll call it.
And then I think specifically you had kind of a horse race for those who were really in the weeds back then. There were things like RSS, which is a open protocol for doing social networking, which in the mid 2000s seemed like a credible competitor to some of the proprietary social networks. Of course, that lost. It's still around, but it's, you know, most people you talk to on the street don't say they use RSS as their social media. Although one of the critiques of my book so far has been that RSS is actually very successful.
Not successful at its original.
Some seal what in the back. That's the guy I was interviewing or whatever.
Very successful. It's a
very so. not successful at its original vision at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's used like HTTP2. They're used as transport layers in some cases, but they're not. You know, they're not you don't ask an average person how you get your social media and they say RSS, right? They go through a company. And so anyway, so that kind of led, my argument is that led to the current state today where you have a small number of companies who through these network effects have now consolidated power, right?
Right.
So in that context, so what are blockchains? Blockchains are, they basically, my core argument in the second half of the book is they provide a new way to create networks.
Yeah, yeah. Run with your money away from that guy as fast as possible.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that shows you the complete ignorance, which we could call nice. I learned that the word nice in Latin also means ignorant. So he's a nice guy.
I like this play on words.
Yes, he's a very nice guy, and he's completely missing the point. Does he even know that RSS powers podcasting? Or does he think it's YouTube? I'm not sure. Yes, go ahead.
No, I was going to say if the podcast industrial advertising complex. If they had their way, he would think that YouTube is podcasting. Yes,
exactly. Exactly. So then
show beer.
Yes, this is actually this show beer today is a Gigawatt Coffee Roasters Ethiopian Yirgacheffe Snap Chill Coffee.
Yikes.
Yes. Yes.
that sounds impressive.
Yes. I will be tripping balls by the end of the show for sure. Yeah. So then I go to the new generation, the generation who gets it, who understands what we're trying to do with value for value. And he's on a little stage at the Bitcoin Atlantis. You know, I think it's called the open source stage, which, you know, it irks me to no end because the Bitcoin conference does that as well. What is the big Bitcoin conference?
They have is the Bitcoin magazine thing?
Yeah.
The one they put on?
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
See that tent over there where it's 150 degrees? That's the open source stage. That's where you belong, little boys and girls.
Well, it's like the podcasting 2.0 session at Podcast Movement. It's exactly. In the back, next behind the lunch, you know, the cafeteria or whatever.
Yeah, they will rue the day they did that, by the way. They will rue the day.
Yeah, sure.
And who is there explaining value for value but none other than Fountain's very own Oscar Mary?
So how do you approach this? What are your...
By the way, the conversation at this point has been Nostr, 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 tools, 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 Nostr, Nostr. Thank you. Here comes Oscar Mary.
So how do you approach this? What are your views on value for value on the other side of the equation?
Yeah, I think just one thing I'd like to mention quickly before I talk about the tools that we're building is that there's actually three components to value for value. The first is the monetary component, but often people think that it's just that, that value for value is just about how much money you can earn from your audience. But there's actually two other really important parts to this. And the way that we like to frame this is with the concept of time, talent, and treasure. So as an audience member or somebody that gets value from the content that you listen to or watch, you can contribute value back, not just through your money, through your sats, but also through, you know, sharing that content, providing feedback, adding to the content. So time, talent, and treasure is really important. And when we're building tools, we need to enable that, not just the monetary flow. To answer your question specifically, though, I think that, you know, the state of the tools that enable value for value, is only just starting to emerge to where mainstream audience can actually use it and use it in an enjoyable way. Like if you take the Fountain app, you know, maybe some of you have used it before, but only in December did we have our 1.0 release. And now we're comfortable saying that, okay, this is a podcast app where if you're coming from Spotify, if you're coming from Apple Podcasts, the UX is there, the design is there. And also the features that highlight value for value encourage listeners to contribute, give users feedback, positive feedback when they do contribute. We're only just starting to kind of surface these features, and feedback is a really, really important part. When you send those sats, if you don't kind of receive some kind of response from the content creator, then you're probably going to drop off and never do it again. And I think if you look at Nostr, you know, just zapping the posts, I don't think that's enough to really drive significant amounts of revenue. Talking about the Ainsley Costello example that you mentioned, Abby, that was an example where the feedback tools did exist. So you had, you know, a ranked list of all of the boosts. And what that did was encourage all of the live audience to support more and more to try and get to the top. I think those kinds of features are only just starting to be introduced, and we need a lot more of them that kind of encourage people and give them that positive feedback that they're making a difference.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
It's amazing. It's been 15 seconds and Sam Sethi has not yet boosted in that True Fans is doing all of this. I'm surprised. because he is. That's why he is. He is.
So this is kind of in line with some things I've been thinking about, because the big thing this week, or one of the big things this week has to really last a few weeks, honestly, is the Apple versus EU.
Oh, thing. Yes. The PWAs versus everything else.
Yeah. And, you know, part of the problem with this is it's very hard to follow because there's a lot going on at once. And you end up, I think Sam and James ended up sort of crossing some wires on this too when I was listening.
Oh, wait, this is Sethi. Let me check. Let me see. Oh, no, not yet. Sorry. Okay.
Yes. It's Gim time. He's on his first glass of wine. So, you know, the issue, there's been a couple of things happening. There's the DMA, the Digital Markets Act in the EU, which told Apple effectively that they had to open up and allow alternative app stores.
Yeah.
Those rules are not. Those rules are not fully in effect yet, and Apple released their plan for what they're going to do and how they're going to comply, and that was one thing. Then you had this fine that came out, this $2 billion fine that came out for their behavior in relation to music, the music industry, digital music.
Specifically from Spotify.
Right, yeah, the Spotify, you know, attack essentially is what that was. And so you've got these two things happening at the same time, and these we haven't talked much about this, and probably for good reason, because I mean it's not really what our thing is, but it does affect app developers. I mean, it affects true fans with the you know, and here's a third thing. They said, okay, we're gonna in response to the PWA, in response to the DMA thing in Europe, we're gonna not do PWA support on iPhone anymore. And then they backtracked on that.
Right.
This has all been a very, very messy thing, and that it affects app developers for sure. Specifically podcast app developers. I mean, all of them, but podcast app developers for sure. It affected Sam with True Fans. Anybody that wants to create a podcast web, PWA, all the work that Andrew Grumman is doing. Mm-hmm. Also anybody who just simply wants to make a living writing an app and having it and selling it, which is quite a few podcast app. A lot of them don't care. They do it for the fun of it and they do it for the giggles, but, and the edification of coding, but a lot of them do want to make some revenue off of it.
I think everybody wants to be valued no matter what.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And
yeah.
Can I just interrupt you for one second?
Yeah, sure.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
100,000 sats from Sam Sethi.
Whoa.
He says, Sam. I have given up telling people what we are doing, smiley face.
Okay.
So, now that's how you do value for value, people. That's how you do it. You ask and he delivers.
Don't give that up, Sam. Keep doing it, bro.
Yeah, of course. Love it. Don't give up at all. Absolutely.
Yeah. So this has all been very messy, and I haven't really. But then this thing happened this week with the $2 billion and all this kind of stuff. And I just started thinking, you know, when it comes to monopoly and competition and antitrust. And these sorts of things, I think it's important to keep some stuff in mind. You got to kind of rid. What's the best way to say it? You have to rid your brain of the idea, first of all, that these are left right issues. It's not. It has nothing to do with that. People on every political side of things will alternatively support or not support various aspects of antitrust and monopoly legislation. It does not fall cleanly. There's plenty of people on both sides that are staunch advocates of hardcore government level regulation.
Yeah.
And some that aren't. But then the other thing is, I think this is critical. You have to remember that government regulation is just a product like anything else. So if you're a company.
That's a very interesting way of describing it. Government regulation is just a product. I like it.
Yeah. It affects the market in the same way that any other competition does. Mm. So if you're Apple and you have a hard time getting something, getting a supplier to provide you with a part that you need for a price that's not going to affect your cost adversely, that's really at the end of the day no different than what a government regulation might do to you. It's still just different aspects of the competition that you face on a daily basis.
Right.
So government is just another competitor in a sense. I mean, the biggest competition large companies have is themselves.
Mm.
Their internal problems are their biggest issues.
See Google, who can't launch a new product for their life.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, I've got a theory on that,
we'll put a pin in it.
We'll circle back.
Yes.
These huge company, and I think the reason I thought about all this was because I didn't expect you to go straight into the Bitcoin angle immediately, and when you did, it made me think in these terms. And so these huge companies, they fight against their own laziness, their own entrenchment, their own
hubris,
their own pilfering of people out of important parts of the company into parts that are not important. There are so many things internally to a company that cause it to go towards dysfunction. It's sort of like a...
it's just like an open source project, except people hang in there because they're getting paid.
Right, because they have a 401k.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, if we had 401ks, people would be just grumpy in the podcast.
We'd be very mad at each other all day long. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so the history of monopoly law, and because of this reason, because of that truth, the history of monopoly law and antitrust is a history of short-sightedness. And you can just see it. The whole history of antitrust is littered with, and it sounds like I'm defending Apple here. It's going to, but I'm not really. I'm just kind of talking in general terms here. Breaking up Standard Oil when they had already failed to make the transition from kerosene to gasoline, they were at antitrust legislation was, they missed the mark.
Yeah.
They breaking up Microsoft or talking about breaking up Microsoft when the web was about to eat their lunch and democratize all the applications off of the PC and onto the web. That again, day late and a dollar short. Talking about breaking up Google when search is about to fail. These are breaking up AT&T when they missed the mark of switching from landline. They were about to get their lunch eaten by wireless when they were all in on landline.
Mm-hmm.
There's every trying to break up IBM when everything was when they had a dominance in mainframe, but they were about to get their lunch eaten by PCs. Antitrust and monopoly and competition law always fails to see the next sea change that's about to happen.
In fact, I would, based on your argument, I would say they're going hand in hand. It actually benefits these companies.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's
and the shareholders
Yeah. Companies are dumb. That's the other part of this. You know, companies are dumb. They chase things. Remember Clubhouse and how everybody wanted social audio for about 6 months?
Oh, 6 months? It was longer than that. And we sat here and went, no. Now, we had no dog in the hunt because we have no money or product, but we went, no, that's not it.
Before that, it was blockchain. It was machine learning. It was self-driving cars. It was augmented reality.
Flying cars is next on the block. I love the flying cars. Look, it has 60 miles of range. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Before you need to charge for 5 hours. Okay.
The bigger the... Apple just get... They just finally canceled their...
Smartly.
Self-driving car thing.
But they were... They were hiring people for a salary of $1 million and bonuses of millions of dollars in stock options.
And I bet they're doing the same thing right now with their gearing up for large language models.
For sure. For sure.
And the bigger the company, the worse this effect is. The biggest companies are the ones that always shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
And companies are just groups of people. Governments are just groups of people. Oftentimes they're the same people. And government people groups aren't any smarter than company people groups. Fred, I don't know if you've ever read The Law by Frederick Bastiat.
No, I have not.
French economist. He, I think he was 1870s, 1880s, perhaps.
Yeah.
So he, the Law is a fantastic thing. It's a very short book, and his basic premise is very easy to construe. His premise is that if it's not moral for you as a person to do a thing, then that thing doesn't become moral because you get a bunch of friends together and do it as a group. So he's basically saying morality does not follow whether or how many people are involved. If it's immoral for an individual to do a thing, it's also immoral for a group of individuals to do the same thing.
Mm.
That's his whole theory of government, basically pulled down into one sentence.
I asked ChatGPT.
Would
you like the quick summary?
Yes, please.
In the book, he argues that the purpose of law should be to protect individual rights and property rather than to redistribute wealth or regulate people's lives. He criticizes government intervention in the economy, arguing that it often leads to unintended consequences and violates individuals' natural rights. He advocates for a limited government that respects individual liberty and allows for voluntary cooperation in society. Sounds like Trump.
He's 19th century French Trump is what. You can't go string somebody up in response to something, vigilante justice. You can't just go stringing people up and then as an individual, but you also can't then get a bunch of people together and do it, and then it becomes okay. Because you call that group government, doesn't make it okay just magically because you've changed the name of the group to something that we all understand. So this is the whole basis of sort of the framework I think we're finding ourselves in right now is the EU specifically, but this is also happening in the US. The FTC is very aggressive right now.
Oh yeah.
They are always going to miss the mark. So this is what I'm trying to say. If you find yourself rooting for these legislative bodies to give you some redress or to fix a problem that is harming you as an app developer, please don't hold your breath because you're gonna pass out.
And this is playing out in the US as we speak in a very underhanded way with TikTok, as the legislation has been reintroduced. Oh, TikTok, it's malware. It's digital fentanyl. It's spyware. They're taking it's national security. No more or less than Instagram. Give me a break.
Fentanyl. I love that one.
That in fact comes from Gallagher, the guy who introduced the get rid of TikTok bill, which conveniently forces TikTok to make all data and videos exportable in machine readable content so it can be imported into, I don't know, Google. The guy's top donor is Google. I mean, it's so transparent.
Okay, so this fits in with let me go to my Google thing real quick, because I think all these companies that are going all in on AI and large language models, I think they're
crazy.
Going to rue the day.
They're crazy.
They're going to rue the day that they did this.
Yeah.
So I, Matt Taibbi recently went through and talked about that he looked himself up.
Didn't we play this on the last show?
No, this was different. This is different. It's a different thing. He said that what he did was he got into Gemini. Everybody got distracted by the images.
Yeah.
But they missed the larger problem, which was the thing is completely unreliable in every aspect almost. And so he said in last week's podcast that he said, well, I went in there and I said, what are some controversies involving Matt Taibbi? He just basically asked it about himself.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just made up all kinds of racist things that he had supposedly said, articles he never wrote. It basically just completely libeled him and gave these references that were completely bogus. And so I was like, well, I wonder what, so I looked up, I asked Microsoft Copilot.
I have a clip for when you're ready.
Oh, do you? Okay. I said, what are some controversies involving Adam Curry?
Oh no. Oh no.
Yeah. Copilot said, Adam Curry, often referred to as the Podfather due to his early contributions to podcasting, has been involved in a few controversies. One notable incident was the removal of his podcast, No Agenda, from Spotify. The removal was speculated to be for commercial reasons, as Spotify was planning to launch ads, but some believe there might have been other reasons behind the decision.
Oh, do tell.
Additionally, there was an instance on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast where Curry was sidetracked when trying to discuss the concept of a digital dollar. This led to discussions within the community about whether certain topics were being avoided intentionally. These incidents highlight the complexities and challenges that can arise in the world of digital media and podcasting.
So I can literally remember the tweet where someone said that. One tweet where someone said, duh, Curry got sidetracked. He was talking about Bitcoin and then Joe sidetracked him. I can remember the tweet. I know exactly where this comes from.
Yeah, you know where it kind of, you know the references it gives? Reddit.
Oh, Reddit. There you go. Oh, yeah. Well, Reddit's licensing their content now. Yeah.
Every reference that it gives in the footnotes are all from Reddit. They're all Reddit threads.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. Breaking this Reddit thread. Breaking Adam Curry's podcast removed from Spotify.
Yeah, I removed it.
I know. That's what I said. This thing is a misinformation machine, the likes of which we have never seen before, and it's created by the people who are supposedly policing the misinformation. And here is my conspiracy theory. So we know for a fact that Google Brain is the origin of all of these large language transformer models. I don't know if they necessarily invented it, but they definitely gave it the R&D to develop it into a real thing. So all this stuff, all these large language models and the current crop of AI, they originated from Google's labs. So why did Google themselves never do anything with this successfully?
Because they knew.
Because they knew it was utterly broken.
Can I play this
and unreliable
1 minute clip from CNBC where you Please. Don't want your company talked about negatively with the big, with your big so-called $10 billion investment. Here is the latest on Microsoft Copilot.
Well, another example today of AI gone rogue and gone wrong. Microsoft's AI image generator creates violent and sexual images as well as ignoring copyright. CNBC.com's Hayden Field wrote that story for us and spoke to the engineer who is making these issues public. She now joins us on set along with our own technology reporter, Steve Kovac. So, Hayden, if you would just give me a little bit of a rundown for viewers that haven't been able to get to your full story yet about what actually happened here with Microsoft.
Thanks, Courtney. So it is a crazy story. this weekend I heard from a Microsoft AI engineer who was really concerned about what he was finding in the Copilot tool. He had been testing it for months, and he said that all the violent, sexualized, just crazy images that it had been generating, he had reported to Microsoft over the last 3 months to no avail. He wasn't happy with how they had been handling his reports. And the craziest part is I myself was able to recreate these same images that he was concerned about just yesterday. So violent, sexualized, just inappropriate images. Think kids with guns, demons and monsters next to abortion rights terminology, sexualized images of women in car accidents, you name it, just stuff you don't want to see from an AI image generator.
That's the one that got me. Sexualized Lord. Images of women in car crashes.
What kind of sickos are there in the world? This world is broken, brother.
Well, have you ever been on Twitter recently? All I see is people hitting each other, you know, punking each other, beating each other up. It's horrible. It's horrible.
I think Google, because Google had so much experience with this. Do you remember when they when the first OpenAI stuff?
Oh, the Google guys all went no, because we're going to get forced into it. We don't want to do it. That's exactly what it was. That's how we called it.
Yeah, OpenAI came out with it. Everybody started freaking out and saying this is great. How did Google miss the mark? And Google's first response was this was always unreliable.
Yep.
They said this technology is not up to the task.
Yep.
I think the entire Gemini thing was on purpose. I think they rolled it out on purpose, knowing it would be completely broken, so that they would essentially throw a stick in the spokes of the whole thing. If now everybody looks at Google and says, okay, wait, if Google, who has all the data, and basically invented LLMs and has some of the smartest data scientists in the world, if they can't get this thing to work properly, hold up. Maybe this is not what we thought it was.
Yeah, that's not how the market is interpreting it. The market is saying, Google, you're passé. You're over. Their valuation is dropping. And I think the same will happen with Microsoft.
Yeah, I'm sticking with my theory. I think they intentionally threw a grenade in the whole idea.
Wow. Okay.
And as soon as these that story you played, these little dings that keep happening where it's like, okay, it did this. Now it got this wrong. Now it messed this up. People are going to start to reference back to Gemini and say, okay, wait. This thing is broken. This thing is not. They were showing us that this thing was broken, that it wasn't, that it completely was unreliable.
Okay, so now I want to bring this back to podcasting.
I was getting there. I'll punch you up when you say what you need to say.
Well, what I was going to say is that all of these companies are crumbling around us. I have been in media since I was. Well, officially since I was 19, but, you know, pirate radio when I was 14, 15, but really getting paid for doing it since I was 19. I've seen it all, and I know exactly, I see the landscape before me, and it is crumbling. The streaming systems are crumbling. The whole, you know, subscribe to, you know, 15 different apps that on your Roku or on your television, the model is not working. And it could take a week, a month, it could take 10 more years, but RSS distribution is the answer. And those of you developing applications, whatever the application is, however it's distributed, you are the future. And stick with it. Stick with it. Because this is going to be so big. I'm seeing, you know, the music stuff, it's going to take years. It's going to take a long time. But it is changing. The reason why Spotify is doing all this is they have no business model. They don't have a model. They are at the beck and call. They are the music industry's bitch. Seriously. They, you know, it's like, oh, we're going to raise our prices. Good. We're going to raise our the cost to you. We're going to raise our licensing fees. Mm-hmm. It's they have no chance. And of course, they, you know, they really doing their reverse IPO, you know, where they where they really didn't raise any money. They're going to have problems going forward. Unless they want to dilute the stock, and it's all kinds of problems. And when you dilute your stock, your employees' options are underwater, and it's a mess. It's just another, as you say, group of people. Mm-hmm. And so especially when I hear, when for me, Signal is like the 16Z guy, the Andreessen Horowitz guy. That's Signal to me. Bing, 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 big red flashing lights. Oh, RSS, no good. The blockchain, no.
Blockchain.
No. This is the way forward, and value for value is the only way forward. Of course you can do advertising, and you know there will be people that it works for. Mm-hmm. But
sure.
Small groups being number one is charts, it really doesn't matter anymore. Having a group big enough to support what you're doing is what the future is. And those groups may be, I mean, we were just watching The Chosen. It's a great, great example. You know, they crowdfunded everything, three seasons.
Huh.
This was not big Hollywood money. Yeah, this is complete value for value. Have you ever seen the credit roll at the end of a season? It goes on for 10 minutes. Everybody's on there.
Yeah,
and everybody feels good, and you know they had some. They gamified it. You know, if you put in X amount, then you could do a set visit, and all the stuff that people always talk about. These guys actually did it.
Yeah, circling back to the monopoly and competition thing, if you think about it, any platform or part of the tech sector that came up through the browser has sort of maintained its roots. It's maintained its openness. It maintains its sort of ethos of openness. So, and podcasting is one of those things because of RSS. It came up on the open web, and it's sort of it's entrenched. It's so hard to change. The reason the app store side of things and the native app side of things is the way it is because that was sort of a clean slate built from nothing.
Mm.
And when that happens, there's always the inclination to lock it down and silo it. Yeah. Or if you look at Apple Podcasts. Apple Podcasts is, I would say, the only part of Apple that continues to have a spirit of openness to it.
Yeah.
They not only have adopted part of the namespace now, but they continue to care about RSS and make it front to happen that would never happen anywhere else in the Apple platform. Things like micropayments. If you think about Apple Podcasts, where they are allowing things to happen that the rest of the company would never allow to happen. So the micropayments and the value for value streaming Satoshis and these kinds of things that we've already seen that be kicked off through Domus. We've seen the problems that has been happening in the other parts of the Apple platform. But for some reason, Apple Podcasts has a spirit of openness in it that they're bringing to the platform. And that is because of RSS. It's because the product was born from the open web. It has maintained that ethic throughout. Spotify was never born on the open web. It was born in the basements of music labels in the recording industry.
Well, the original Spotify was actually quite cool. You know, it was a peer-to-peer sharing system for about half a minute.
Yeah, that's right.
And then it got reborn and rebirthed into what it is today.
Into a DRM-laced black box.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And so it's never going to be, it will never be anything other than that, unless there's a humongous change of leadership and all these, and basically unless the company completely turns over. Yeah,
I don't think that can, you can't even do that. I don't think so either. And I thought it was kind of hilarious. As James pointed out on Pod News Weekly Review, how Daniel Ek is like, yo, it's open systems. We believe in open. Mm-hmm. Bull crap. We saw what you did with podcasting. You blew $1 billion.
Right. And so people don't want to, so they don't want to pay 30%, and they want to be able to do payments off platform. Those are really the things that developers want. If you boil it all down, they don't want a humongous fee. And they want to be able to use their own payment systems in their apps, because most developers came from the open web, and that's what we expect. But that's not, you're basically asking Apple and Android to become web browsers, and they're not going to do it.
No way. They're not going to do it. No,
they're not going to do it. But I think ultimately in the end, it doesn't matter, because RSS will continue to exist independent of these platforms. And when the EU and when antitrust regulators and these people sort of, and these regulatory bodies begin to get aggressive, that tells me that within a few years, there's going to be some sea change because they're always late to the game. They're always late to the party. They start doing this right when the company they're trying to regulate is about to get the rug pulled out from under.
Yes.
By the market, not by regulators, but by the market itself. I guarantee you there is something coming down the pipe that none of us can imagine right now. There's something coming that is going to level this playing field on its own, independent of what any of these regulators are trying to do. And we don't even know what that is yet, because you can't. It's impossible to know what's happening next. Microsoft never saw the Microsoft of 1994. They thought the web was a joke.
Yes. I remember consulting for them.
Yeah. They didn't take it seriously.
No, they did not.
And within 10 years, they were fighting for their life.
Mm-hmm.
And they also thought Linux was a joke. Now, most of their Azure cloud revenue comes from Linux.
And
companies don't know.
4% of all desktops in the world are Linux now. That's not bad.
No, that's not bad at all. And so I think there's something... I guess from an app, you know, our focus here is as podcast app developers, and specifically independent ones, but all of them. And I guess my message would be not, you know, I wouldn't worry about these things too much, because I think they are going, if history is a judge, and it is, these things will play themselves out, and you will be in a better position in a few years.
Yes.
We can't say what that's going to be and how it's going to play out until the future, but I'm not worried about it. I think it's self-correcting. I really do. And that's for PWAs and native apps too. I think there's going to be something that causes this to self-correct.
Pod Sage has spoken.
You can take it to the bank. Yeah, but I mean, like so I don't know if you saw, Helipad now has webhooks.
Oh, no, I did not see this.
In the spirit of openness.
Oh, I did not see this. No, did that mean that you can receive something on Helipad and you can make it post something or do something cool?
Yeah, you can have Helipad send a webhook in response to some event that happens.
Oh, wow. You mean like triggering... a flashing light in your studio? Like, is it Booberry who's been doing that?
Anything like that. I mean, anything that can receive a webhook, you can wire it up. Eric says
awesome.
It's not pushed to Umbral Start 9 yet, but it's in the code now.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome.
Mr. Eric PP.
Yes.
This is going to get really fun.
Are you kidding me? This is going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, this is exactly, so I can publish that as an activity stream.
Yes, you could.
Now you're talking.
Oh, we need a webhook receiver somewhere on the other, you know, on the other end.
Oh, that's fantastic.
To do crazy stuff.
I did not. How did I miss this? Was it in the GitHub? I didn't see it on the.
He pushed it, I think, last night.
Here
was my first thought. You don't need. This is sort of like a built-in boost bot.
Yes, because you don't need a split anymore. You can just tie it into something.
Right. Yeah. You set up a webhook to go out to some sort of receiver, and then it posts wherever you want it to post that you just received a boost.
Oh, this is me orgasmic.
I'm getting a little concerned over here. Do you want me to leave you two alone? I mean,
that is cool. By the way, thank you. Oscar, for fixing your TLV records. Now I can see what songs people are boosting.
Can you reply it?
No, not yet. He wanted to think about that, which is fine.
Okay, he's gonna have a think. He's gonna have a think.
When he has a think, interesting things come out. For some reason, Andrew Grummet can't get it to work right. I'm not sure, and it's way beyond my knowledge. I see him trying, but it's not coming through yet, and I'm not sure why.
He's not pushing hard enough.
Exactly. Exactly. Try harder.
Spreaker.
Yes.
How about they flipped the switch on Podbean.
Now, it's been interesting because I've been watching Podbean.watch, and they've got a lot of foreign podcasts. I see a lot of Spanish language. I see all kinds of stuff flying through.
A lot of Arabic, too.
Yeah, I've seen that as well. Are any of the big networks, like any of those guys on it?
What do you mean, big networks?
I don't know, like iHeart or something like that. It feels like one of those big companies is using Spreaker. I could be wrong.
I don't know. They've got a lot of feeds. They're like 350,000 feeds.
Now, how did they come to this decision? Who was it? Spurlock who was pushing him? Because I know that he was the first one to know about it.
Eric PP says Spreaker is iHeart.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
It's an iHeart company. I know Spurlock had talked to him, but then I think it originated with Franco Solerio, actually, from Castomatic.
Really?
Because they're an Italian company. I may be wrong. I think Spreaker knows them.
Oh.
I know he knows somebody that works there. I can't say for sure they're an Italian company, but I know Franco is buddies with a guy who is sort of high up there. And because he got me in touch with them this has probably been about a year ago. Spreaker started blocking our aggregators.
Oh, right. I remember that.
And giving us 429s. And so I asked for if anybody had a contact, and Franco's like, oh yeah, one of my friends works there. And so he hooked me up and we started talking, and the guys there are super nice. And
why were they blocking us? Cause they just didn't know what we were.
Yeah. It was just a automatic thing. They saw too much traffic and it started blocking. Yeah. So I asked them, I was like, can you whitelist us? And they did, which was fine. And I said, well, you know, it would be great if you could do Podbean, because then I wouldn't have to pull you at all. And then they were like, yeah, we'll do it. And I didn't hear back from them for months. And then all of a sudden they sent me an email the other day and were like, yeah, we got it built. We're ready to flip it on. Can we go? I was like, yeah, go.
What's so cool, and I promoted this on No Agenda yesterday, is that all those podcasts now can tell their audiences, hey, if you want to know within 90 seconds of us posting the new show instead of waiting 30 minutes, 15 minutes, 45 minutes. Get one of these modern podcast apps.
Totally.
That's the beauty of it in my mind.
If for people who may not know how Podbean runs on the Hive blockchain, and that's all set up. It does Brian's got it set to do resource allocation as needed and these kinds of things, a bunch of voodoo that I don't understand. But essentially, it runs on the public Hive blockchain. But the way most people interact with Podping is through podping.cloud. So that's where all the big hosting companies are. They're sending their Podpings to podping.cloud, which then posts it to the blockchain, which then everybody can read.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like you get an authentication token, and then you can post to podping.cloud, and we take care of the,
who's running that? Are we running podping.cloud?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's, code, the Hive Rider is code that, that Alex built. And then I built the web layer on top of it. And so it's just basically a web service that takes people's pod pings and converts them to the Hive Rider, and then writes it to the blockchain.
So it's also on IPFS, right?
Is
that an IPFS version? I saw it.
That was a test we were doing IPFS of PubSub over live P2P. They actually ripped that feature out of IPFS.
Oh, really? Good. Mm-hmm. Way to go, guys.
Yeah, I know. And so, but we're actively thinking about ways to get around that and do some sort of gossip or P2P. But the reason I bring all that up about the structure, the way it's built, is that podping.cloud has five servers. It's got one in the Western US, Central US, Eastern US, one in Europe, and one in Australia. So there's five global servers.
Are those our servers? Like
yeah.
Podcast Index? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I had no idea. Yeah. Awesome.
You don't get the Cloudflare bill every month.
No, I see it. I see it. Believe me, I see it.
Okay. So there's five of those servers, and they're very cheap. Each one of them is only a $5 mm-hmm. Nanode. Mm-hmm. It's the $5 a month Linode VM. Very cheap, and they can handle like a gazillion, pod pings, an hour. I mean, it's just like the headroom that they have is amazing. And then there's a load balancer in front of it through Cloudflare so that it gets geolocation load balanced to the closest Podping server for whoever is sending the Podping.
Mm-hmm.
And what was interesting is when Spreaker came online, historically, one of the slowest Podping servers in globally is the European server, and it just never had much traffic. But as soon as Spreaker came online, like that thing is just killing it.
Oh, it's doing over 1,000 Podpings an hour.
Yeah, it lit up like a Christmas tree. I mean, like it's now now Europe. That was just cool to see because it's like. Now there's this even distribution going on. Now Australia doesn't have a whole lot of traffic, but it's always had more than Europe. And now there's this nice even load that's going on across things. Anyway, it's just cool to see. It was cool to see the whole thing function. I mean, in the last year, there's only been one hiccup, and it really wasn't that big of a deal. I forgot even what the problem was, but I had to reboot a couple of servers, and one server ended up picking up a lot more load than it should have.
I'm going to give you the whole load today.
Sorry. Couldn't
the
resist.
Whole European
couldn't,
load.
Couldn't resist.
And, anyway, it's just, the thing is rock solid. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Well, congratulations to all you guys for putting that together and keeping, for you and Brian and,
Alex. Yeah.
That's so cool.
And the Hive Watcher for people who want, that's all the publishing side. The people who want to watch Podping for changes like the way podping.watch does, the GitHub repo has the code in it. It's the podping-watcher repo, and it's got instructions and everything. It's very stable now. Alex made some changes to it recently, and it's very stable.
You can do, if you're a developer, you can do a lot of cool stuff with this. Mm-hmm. You could build your own index, I guess. You know, you'll be missing Libsyn, but yeah.
Yeah, there's a few. Yeah. Libsyn is 2 weeks. They'll be done in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Sometime next year. Oh, that was last year. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So anyway, that's cool.
That's very cool. I met a guy 2 weeks ago. He came mm-hmm. through the, I was interviewed on the Thank God for Bitcoin podcast. And Jordan over there said, oh, you got to meet this guy, Zach. He's got something going on. And so Zach, this was amazing. And because it came through Jordan, I'm like, yeah, I'll talk to the guy. And he set up this thing called IndieHub.studio. And so, you know, he has a story. He's out in LA and, he started,
spell it. Is it I-N-D-E-E?
Yeah. IndieHub.studio. I don't know if it's publicly okay. available yet. Let me see. IndieHub.
There's a page there.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me see. I mean,
help liberate the art of filmmaking.
Yeah. So he did this demo for me and it was phenomenal. Hmm. So he says, okay, here's your, here's your film. And of course, it was a dummy film. And he's showing me on screen share, right? On Zoom. And he said, do you have an Albi wallet? Yep. He said, okay, what's your Albi wallet? And, you know, it's adam@getalbi.com. Mm-hmm. And then he hits play. And, you know, you literally see his wallet on the screen start to receive sats and mine. I'm like, this is genius. This is exactly what we've done. only a little differently. So he around the same time that we came up with the value blocks and everything, he came up with this idea out of frustration because he says that the amount of independent films that are submitted to what's the big one there in Colorado? I'm blanking on it now.
The big what?
Yeah, the big independent movie film festival. Come on.
Sundance.
Do you know how many movies are submitted each year?
Oh gosh, it's gotta be so many.
What do you think? Just as a,
I'd say probably 2,500.
More like 14,000.
Oh my gosh. There's no way you could ever show that many movies.
And, you know, and I know filmmakers and, you know, it's horrible. They, you know, especially documentarians, they can't get listed. Amazon takes all your money. I mean, it's horrible. It's worse than the music business.
Bet it is.
Yeah. And so he set this up out of frustration around, but you know, so he went a little different. He basically outsourced all the development. And so they are running everything through the Strike API. Which is interesting. So, but it's very centralized because you submit your wallet details to him, you upload to him, he does the splits, everything. And so I say, oh, look at our demo. And I show him the exact same thing. Basically he goes like, what? I said, yes. I said, here's the difference. You can
RSS.
Yeah. I said, with some retooling, you can, I mean, it was like a replay of Wavelake, yeah. Like an exact replay.
Yeah.
And what's cool is, you know, and I said, you know, this is what happened with Wavelake. And then we said, look, you need to get this into RSS feeds. You need to get into the index. You need to put in value blocks, you know, and we've pulled them along and they've come quite far.
Medium equals film.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. And I said, you know, you know how to talk to filmmakers. This is why you're perfect. So here's, you know, I would recommend, Zach, don't try to do everything yourself, but leave it up to the apps to ingest all the, you know, to be the playout system. We already have four or five to do video very nicely. And you just talk to the filmmakers and help them set up the splits and everything. And he's on board.
Yes. Yes. It's Wavelake for independent
for film.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is why going back to our conversation in the beginning, this is happening. And most of you out there who are developing apps are young enough to see the success. Dave and I will be dead when it all comes to fruition.
Hey, look, remember when we put the value blocks in ours?
What'd you say?
this is happening. Concerts, all of this is taking place in our lifetime. And don't worry, be happy. Don't worry about about the big mass and everyone has to know about. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen. It took years for podcasting to grab hold. It'll take a while.
Yeah.
But just like you said, with whatever's coming next for the technology industry, this will happen. Something will happen. Some piece of undeniably cool content will be available through this system and everybody will flock to it. This is life. This is, yeah. It's just how it happens. It's how things work. I've seen it happen time and time again.
And it's usually a secret ingredient to something that already exists.
You have no idea. You really have no idea what it is.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. It's amazing.
You look back and you're like, oh, dadgummit, why didn't I see that? You know, that's the way it always works.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'm liking this because, you know, because Alex was trying to lead this charge with No Agenda Tube for a long time. Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. But I mean, it's like, that's.
The technologies are there, and this guy will need No Agenda Tube functionality because you know he doesn't know what a bandwidth bill is yet or a storage bill.
Yes.
But the cool thing is he understands how to talk to filmmakers. That's cool.
That's the ingredient. Yeah,
Wavelength guys know how to talk to musicians and artists.
Right.
It doesn't mean that doesn't discredit RSS Blue or Pod Home or self hosting or music side. Doesn't discredit that at all.
No.
I mean, I use Graphene OS because I want to have different things working on my phone the way I want to work. There's always going to be a market for that. Mm. But to kickstart things off, to get things going, and these people are coming to us, they're coming into our system.
The radio receivers, the podcast apps are already there. Mm-hmm. It just makes things a lot easier when you don't have to write that side of it.
Oh yeah. And you know, James wrote a very thoughtful article as a radio futurologist, yes. which I did want to say something about. The title of it is Why Overcast is More Than Just a Podcast Player. And I think he really hit it on the head with something that I hadn't even really considered. And that's the voice boost.
Mm-hmm.
I want to put out there that I think he's right. See, I'm against silence choppers. I'm against speed listening. I think it's bad for your health. I'm against all of that. However, He wrote in this article, voice boost by itself is an excellent feature because of podcasting's open nature. The app is literally playing the sound file direct from the podcast hosting company. So there's no opportunity for podcast apps to do any form of quality control. This is not something fully understood by my broadcast friends who assume there is some form of ingestion process.
Yeah.
And there is for YouTube. This is a very good point. I use Podcast Guru as my go-to lately, and it has a voice boost, I think the voice boost on Overcast has a little more processing than just a volume boost. And mm-hmm. I guess my point is there's more to why people use apps than just your UI.
Yes.
UI is super important. Don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of subtle things that I hadn't even considered. And I know from my own experience that for the last 10 years, for sure, people say to me, No Agenda has the best sound. Now, if you listen to No Agenda on the radio, you'd go nuts. But I process it for earbuds. This is my, and I use similar processing for this podcast. I process it for earbuds and I process it so that, you know, I don't want background sounds, which is, you know, we don't have professional studios. So I use noise gating and there's always, you know, people like, the noise gate sucks. It's popping. I don't like it. But in general, people say, wow, you know, you've ruined my podcast listening by the sound that you produce. So I just want to tell people who are creating apps, that's important too.
That's a good point because the voice boost in Overcast, I believe, is compression.
Oh yeah, it's compression EQ. There's some. I mean, I don't have an iPhone, so I can't evaluate it, but I know that it's doing something beyond just, you know, plus 3 dBs.
Yeah, it's still, yeah, it's more than just jacking the volume up, because when you just jack the volume up, then you make the loud guy too loud and the soft guy is okay.
Exactly.
But if you, what you want is for them to be both at the same volume.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I know Overcast is one of the maybe only, if not very few, I think I want to say maybe the only one who runs, the app has its own audio engine.
Doesn't Castomatic have one?
Castomatic may as well. Yeah, Franco. Yeah, you're right. I think Franco also has his own. So like, so when you play a, when you play an audio file back using Overcast, it's actually decoding the MP3 directly from frame by frame.
Oh, wow.
And so it gets, it has a chance. It's in the pipeline and it has a chance to do some of those magical things.
Yeah, I think James really nailed it here. I mean, this, people don't realize why they like that app. They don't realize it, but it just feels good. For some reason, it feels good to them. And I think that's a big part of it.
Well, and you know, and going back to the Indie Hub thing and the Wavelate thing, that's one of the things that you get the advantage of. There's somebody already has an app that they like.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to convince them to change. You just publish through RSS.
Right.
And you don't have to write your own app, and then you don't have to convince somebody to change apps. Now somebody may want to change apps eventually to something else for a specific piece of content. Like somebody may think this other app is better at playing music or better at playing film, but they can start where they're at.
Yes.
They don't have to.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. And that's, again, the power of RSS is that it does not force everybody into one thing.
Exactly. Oh boy, I love talking just with you sometimes.
It's nice as long as I don't come home and have to rebuild my computer within 15 minutes.
Should we play
on Windows 11. This is just, the whole thing just feels so weird.
Should we play a song for a minute? Just take a little breather for a second.
Let's do it.
All right. I know I've...
Ooh, I like this.
Yeah, I don't know if I've played these guys on our show before, but I've played them on Boosted Ramble. I really like what they're doing, and they're way into value for value. Playing now on Podcasting 2.0, this is the trusted Millennium. Remember to boost!
I was born on the left side of the century. My head's been filled with neon sounds. Indie loud feel keeps coming around. I wanna live, cause I just don't want to cry. I just don't want to cry. I like to play with your neon love. I got comfort, money, and liberty. I'm so tired of all the Jesus wannabes. I wanna live, cause I just don't want to die. Try to kill my honest name with millennial hurricanes. So lose your heart in the millennium. It's not alright, it's not alright. I wanna be alright. So lose your heart in the millennium. It's not alright, it's not alright. I wanna be alright. I can see demons in the machines. And I have chance again and again. The relevant wars that never end. I wanna live, cause I wanna see you tonight. So try to kill my honest name with millennial hurricanes. So lose your heart in the too much to win, but not enough to lose. Lots in the silhouette, wearing cheap shoes. Wearing cheap shoes, no way. Lose your heart in the millennium. It's not alright, it's not alright. I wanna be alright. Lose your
just love that. I love those guys. And but I was right. I played it on February 2nd. Dovidos popped into the chat, and he, of course, has been tracking all these things on rssblue.com/top. And that's another thing. You know, I love these, what I call 2.0 native podcast hosts.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty rad because you have somebody who's like, hey, I want to do an audiobook. It's like, oh, well, here, I got a host for you.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it's rad. Yes, that's the right word. It's rad.
Rad.
It's totally rad, bro. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we want to thank some people?
Yeah, hold on a second. What is going on here? Why is this thing...
Is my computer
for some reason let me see if I can reset this. That's odd.
One thing I've been trying to be careful of is I'm afraid that my computer audio may come back through to you, and I don't know for sure, so I've been trying not to touch anything, because on the Ubuntu box it would not do that, but I'm not sure if this does or not.
Something really weird happened. For some reason, it's the split kit is now broadcasting songs we're not playing.
What?
Yeah, I know, right?
That's
what?
Cool.
What?
Okay,
I know. I have no idea why it's doing that. Let me see if I can stop this nonsense. That's very, very odd. All right. Why don't you start? Oh boy, this is bad. Yeah. I don't know how to stop it. Stop.
Somebody's getting sets.
Yeah. Right. Yes. We are value for value. I'm going to kick it off with, let me see. Oh boy. We got, some live boosts, which are worth mentioning. Herbivore Band 3333. They also recently did a live lit and value for value gig. Yeah. Thanks, Adam, for fixing up Winds of Change in the index and playing on Boostagram Ball, returning back some value. Thank you. Yeah, well, it's my pleasure. Boobery 3333. Adam, glad you mentioned the credit roll at the end of movies. That was The Chosen. Probably the thing I'm most hands down excited for about our concert. That's right. Boobery's doing a concert where is he coming on the show in April to talk about it?
Yeah, Boo Berry's coming on the show. Yep.
Cool. The most excited about for our concert is the stream will conclude with a full credit roll with all producers who donated being listed as associate/executive producers. Very nice.
Nice.
Lavish with 11,111. A boost is a thank for the Ainsley show being as sharp as it was. Time and talent, indeed. And there, of course, is the 100,000 baller boost from Sam Sethi. We appreciate you, Sam. 11,11 from Upbeats. Salty Crayon, as usual, the Noster fart-sniffing Bitcoin bros taking a crap on V4V and Time, Talent, and Treasure because they never did the ask. Great points for Oscar. Indeed. There's another boobery, 11,111. There's so much to say about this upcoming concert stream of 12 rods, April 6th. There you go. Scoreboards, disco balls. It's going to be lit in-app, fam. We need help getting funds together for a lightning package. More info and a Substack article about lightning the event can
package.
Be found. I don't know what that means. Can be found at liveislit.com. All right. Beautiful. Eric PP, 3333, just came in. Thank you very much.
Get your web hooks ready.
Yeah. Steve Webb, did you get the Steve Webb one? I'll read Steve it just in case.
Maybe.
He sent 33,777 sats. That's like a lucky / striper boost. Thanks, okay. Adam and Dave, for helping me sort out the magic wallet switching glitch. On the feed for my LifeSpring Music show 2.0. Kudos also to Mike Dell at Blueberry. It took a lot of back and forth emails, but with all you's guys' help, the go sign is lit. May God bless you richly and go podcasting.
Go podcasting! Thank you, Steve.
And then we have one more that came in from Mike Newman. Millennium as debuted on Phantom Power Music Hour and It's a Mood on January 26th. Love is lit. Go podcasting. Indeed, boys.
It's a mood.
Go podcasting. Thank you very much.
Got a PayPal from Oscar Mary on the show last week. $200.
Nice.
Thank you, Oscar. He knows. He explained value for value, and then he did value for value.
Okay, I'm going to give him a big baller.
Shot caller, 20 inch blades on the Impala.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much.
And then we got Podverse, Mitch and the boys over there. $50.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you, Mitch. Thank you, boys. Thank you so much.
And then I hope you're doing well, Mitch. We should need to have Mitch on the show soon.
Definitely.
Randall Black. We got a new $5 a month subscription from Randall. No note from him, but thank you, Randall.
Thank you, Randall. Appreciate that. Appreciate
it. Got some boosts. We got Gene Everett through Fountain. He said 3333 says Joe Rogan videos on YouTube again.
Yes.
As of a week ago.
Hmm.
Every episode posts starting 5 days ago, and there's a way to figure it out. Ask people. All my friends like Rogan, and 9 out of 10 watch, not listen. Even though it's annoying to get video while it's been Spotify only, they all watched last on YouTube. Mm. That's
I guess we were talking about if he was back on YouTube.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, we got 3333 from Herbivore Band.
Oh.
Through Fountain. He says, would love live video support through Fountain. I would like that too in Fountain.
Yeah. Well, didn't we ask Oscar about that? And he was like, I don't know. Yeah. He wasn't too sure.
Yeah, he wasn't big on it, but I don't mean you developers, they do what they're.
They do what they want to do. They do what they want to do. That's right.
Yeah. And if there's content there that's enough and compelling enough and people need it, I'm sure he would do it.
Mm, yes.
Gene Bean, 2222 through Castomatic. He says, Gene Everett isn't me. I enjoyed last week's show quite a lot.
But it wasn't me, though.
I apologize, Gene Bean. I got Gene Bean and Gene Everett mixed up.
Oh,
my
boy.
Apologies.
Oh, boy.
See, Anonymous, 500 sats, says, this song slaps.
Okay. Whatever it was, we're happy you liked it.
Yes. Source D, 1701, Star Trek Boost. Thank you, Source D. Appreciate that. We got Sir Brian of London, 11948, a super Israeli founding boost.
It's a biggie.
Through Castomatic. Yep, he says, I'm in Hedera in the middle of Israel at a robot competition, but my phone is telling me I'm in Beirut at the airport again.
They're messing with GPS over there, man. They're doing a lot of weird stuff.
IP address geolocation is so sketchy. So as part of... part of Office 365 and these kinds of things that most enterprises use, It will alert you when somebody, which is extremely beneficial. It will alert you when somebody logs in from a new location that's out of the ordinary for them.
Uh-huh.
So you'll get an alert that says, hey, this person's never, is always in the same place, but now all of a sudden they're logging in.
Yeah, danger, Will Robinson.
Birmingham.
Yeah.
Now they're logging in from Rotterdam. He's like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, this is a problem.
But this gets triggered false alarms all the time because these geolocation
are
databases.
Off. They're just no good.
They get moved. Yeah, the IP address blocks get moved around a lot and they just like, you can't trust this stuff at all. Let's see, another anonymous 500 sats. Thank you for the song we played last week. 23,000 sats. Wait, is this the delimiter?
Yes, I think it is. I saw it come in. Yeah, from CSB.
Okay, you read the Steve Webb.
All right. I got Steve Webb.
Then we got one from Chris Last, 10,000 sats through Fountain. He says, great chat. I'm really impressed with the direction of Fountain. They are building... I'm really impressed with the direction of Fountain. They're building something special. But what he wrote was what it auto corrected probably was they're building Trumping special.
Oh yeah. Well, we know what you're doing.
Yeah.
We know what you're typing.
Chris, try to hide it.
Yeah. No, you can't fool us, bro.
Busted. Okay. Comic strip blogger, 23,000 sats through Fountain. It's the delimiter. He says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Complex Candor podcast at www.complexcandor.com is the place where armchair philosophy meets the liberty-minded. Lady Vox and Sam tackle a variety of topics from both historical and strategic standpoints, discussing how we got to this place and how we might think our way out of it. Welcome to the Complex. Yo, CSB.
Yo, CSB. Thank you.
enjoy the sunshine, CSB.
Well, he was enjoying the sunshine. I saw you. I saw you talk to him about that.
It's brighter in Poland.
Thank you all so much. Did we have anything else, or was that all of our?
That's all of our boosts. That's we got some monthlies.
Yeah, yep.
We got. Yeah. Have you noticed the boosts slow down and become smaller when Bitcoin goes up to 70,000?
Well, I'm not sure if that's. I mean, having done value for value for 16 years, after Christmas, it slows down to around this time. It starts to pick up again. I don't know if it's related to the price per se. I'm not sure.
Monthlies, Pod Page.
Oh,
$25.
Thank you, Brandon, man. Yep. No, I use his stuff a lot. I love it.
Pfeiffer's right. Tax returns. Yep. That's a killer too. New Media, $1. Thank you, New Media. That's Martin Lindeskog. Mark Graham, $1. Thank you, Mark. Joseph Maraca, $5. Emilio Cano Molina, $4. Lauren Ball, $24.20. And Basil Phillip, $25.
Well, thank you all very much.
That's our group.
We are value for value. We talk about it throughout the whole show, but I'll just remind you that the podcast, the servers, everything runs on the value you return to the project. And Dave and I take none of it. We just keep it on the node, particularly the Satoshis, and we keep everything on auto pay. So the servers will keep running if we fall down dead. We hope.
Mm-hmm. It'll be fun to see once we die how long the servers will run until, like, you know. We're not giving anybody any passwords.
No.
It's just going to have to run.
No. Hey, you know, you might as well download that database just in case. You never know.
Keep grabbing it until you get the very end.
Yeah, go to podcasting.
It's Voyager. It's like Voyager 1. It's still ticking out there.
Barely. It's sending pings. Go to podcastindex.org. Down at the bottom, you'll see two red donate buttons, one for your fiat fund coupons. We of course accept your PayPals, but we love your on-chain Tally coin. No one today, but you know, maybe one of those guys who are getting rid of a 1,000 Bitcoin, someone our way. You never know. It's good karma. Mm-hmm. It's good karma.
Yep.
And of course, what we really love is when you boost us, because that is the full circle of value for value with the feedback loop. We love reading your boostograms, and you can get a modern podcast app at podcastapps.com. Do we need to talk about Fedifying at all?
Fedifying.
Yeah, you know, the activity pub stuff and, you know, where we're at. Because, you know, we kind of stopped talking about it because basically, it's working.
Yeah.
Is there anything we need to do about it? Just let it, what's the next step in this process?
I think for now, I paused it. Because this is a busy time of year for me and it was mostly done and it just runs. And then I also needed to do some bigger things. So I need to return to the index and to the namespace to do some stuff that was kind of getting neglected because I was over there in Activity Pub world for so long. So, like one of those things I've been needing to do is make a way for you to change a feed URL in the index.
Oh yeah. I saw that. Thank you so much. That's one of the few things that I was frustrated about that I couldn't help people with.
Yeah.
That's really good.
It's like little niggling things like that, that are just like, you know, they really need to be done, but it's always been like at the bottom of this long list. So I'm doing those things. Yes. Eric PP, you're right. Key send addresses. You know, take care of the fee stuff in the namespace.
What's the key send at? Oh, you mean in the namespace, that change?
Yeah. Some of those things that are just like, they're not big, huge changes, but they're just to do things. They're to do list items.
You know, I love having, of course, I'm on the info at podcastindex.org email alias. So I love it when people send stuff and like, hey, you know, how do I fix this? And then I have the power to fix it. And they're like, oh, thank you. I'm so happy. This is so awesome. You guys rock. It always makes me feel really good. So now that I can, you know, it was like I was helping Steve Webb out with his, with this 2.0 feed. Is that on your list as well to show values, time value splits? I know it's like not like you don't have enough to do already, obviously.
It's not on my to-do list. It's somebody else.
Someone else can put that on the to list.
I'll tell you one thing with the website that is on my to-do list is following a podcast in in the Fediverse from the website. So where you can like,
Okay.
Cause the code and everything is already there based on what Nathan and, Guilherme and those guys did back then. So you can just like, I'm just going to have to rearrange some of that code to get it to where you can say like, I want to follow this person in Activity Pub, this podcast in Activity Pub. And then it pops up and asks you for your instance and all that. And Basically, it just goes back and forth.
Stuff. No, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, with that combined with the Podping, people can basically build their own index.
Yeah.
Just suck it in.
So, we can talk about this.
And before you do that, I want to say two things. One, I'm looking for webhooks so I can point our Podcasting 2.0 helipad feed to it. Or webhook thing, whatever. So if you got an idea, send that to me. Two, I've written down exactly zero show titles.
Oh.
So I need a show title boardroom. All right. What do you want to talk about?
I had somebody contact me through Podcast Index email, and somebody from one of these large language model AI companies that I think most people would know the name. I'm not going to say it. But they contacted me about getting all the episode data out of the index. And so, typically we don't do that because it's 120 million episodes. It's 150 gig database.
Yeah.
Table. So we don't make that available, but if people ask for it, I will give it to them. And typically I'll ask them, you know, for at least some sort of donation to cover the egress fees.
Mm-hmm. Because it's big.
It's big. And if somebody says, hey, you know, I want this on an ongoing basis, I want to support it. We've done that for people before where, you know, I'll make it available to them in an object storage bucket and they can,
Why do they want that? What do they want to do?
I'm sure they just want to, I don't know for a fact, but I'm sure they want to ingest it into their large language model. Descriptions and transcripts and all that kind of stuff.
Got it.
I'm sure that's what it's for. And I guess, you know, and of course, I'm not going to say no. I mean, we exist to give this stuff away and it's free out there. So, you know, if somebody wants it, I'm not going to say, oh, we don't like you. I mean, I'm not going to do that.
But you still don't give them the email addresses in that, right?
Oh, no, never. We don't give that stuff away. Right. No. So anyway, I just told this person what I tell everybody. I'm like, well, hey, you know, if you want, I'm glad to give it to you. You know, if you want it on an ongoing basis, you know, I'd appreciate some sort of donation to cover our costs and value for value and that kind of thing. And, because obviously if you want it on a repeated basis, it must be valuable. So think about, you know, consider donating, but I guess I just wondered, is that cool? I mean,
to do that? Yeah, what do you mean? To ask for a donation or what are you asking about?
Not to ask for a donation, but, I don't have a problem with that, but because, I mean, we can't make them and I'm still going to give it to them regardless. I mean, it's not like that, but is it cool to give all this data to one of these large language model companies like that? Is there any, am I missing an ethical thing here? I don't think I am. I mean, it just is what it is, right?
I don't think so either. I mean, the best thing that could happen is someone says, I'm going to set up a better index.
Yeah.
That's, I guess, the best thing that could happen.
Well, if they set up a better index, I'll start using it.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. So, no, I mean, that's kind of the beauty of it.
Anyway,
yeah, that's kind of the beauty of it. I don't know. Well, if anyone has any,
it was just an interesting thing because it's. I mean, I think this is a well-funded company. I don't know how much they're valued at, but I mean, it's a big, well-known company, and it's all public data. I don't feel like there's anything weird about it.
Well, if they're going to train an LLM, they're going to spend a lot of money building that LLM. So good luck to them, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's who knows what'll come out of it. I'm sure it won't be any better than Google Barf or Gemini, whatever it's called now.
Yeah.
Or Copilot. I mean, all right, if you know, but yeah, you would hope that they would support us for that.
Yeah. I mean, if they don't, they probably didn't find it valuable and moved on.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would think, I mean, this stuff is difficult. There's so much data in those podcast show notes and all that garbage.
Oh my
it's
God.
A mess.
I could just, good luck with that. That's really what you say. Sure. Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't, you know, I don't ever want to like facilitate somebody doing something creepy, but I guess this doesn't feel that way.
Now, do they say that works for an LLM?
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing this company does.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, that's their whole business model. So I'm assuming that's what it's for. I mean, like if it was like News Guard or Global Engagement Center or something like that. That's like this. We're going to look for misinformation. And
yeah,
I'd have been like, get it yourself. But
yeah.
But that didn't feel like what this was.
Well, we trust your judgment.
That's a terrible thing to trust. I don't even trust my judgment.
Hey, brother, we started late, but I know you got to get back to the office. It's a busy time for you. So shall we call it? Yep.
Let's call it.
Okay, call everybody. That's right. We're going to end it right here. That's it for the board meeting. Love to see you back next week on Friday. Same time, same place. Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! You blew $1 billion.